Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now is head coach of the Washington Capitals, Barry Trotz. He's driven by Lindsay Lexus of Alexandria. A fabulous facility, top-line customer service, and an amazing selection, the ultimate hat trick. At the only Lexus dealer inside the Beltway, Lindsay Lexus of Alexandria. You'll love it at Lindsay. Good morning, Coach.
Coach.
Good morning.
Hello, Coach
Trotz.
Good
morning, Coach Trotz.
What time does Coach Trotz get up on a non-game day, typically?
Usually about 6:15. Get over to the facility about 6:30 and go from there.
Oh, you live right next to the facility, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6:15 to 6:30, that doesn't leave time for a shower.
You can catch second segment of the jumps.
You just getting up and rolling over there?
I don't even turn the lights on. I just put my stuff on and I get over to the rink, I shower and put my sweatsuit on and grab a coffee and I'm good to go.
Now, when you were playing back in the WHL, there's no way that you looked into the future and saw NHL players getting a 5-day or 6-day break in the middle of an NHL season. Do you think it's good for the players to have that as far as, you know, continuity in the season? And I know you guys have hit your worst slump. You're tied for your worst slump of the season coming out of that break. What do you think of that mandatory break for the players?
Well, I think it's good. The one thing that I think that should be mandatory when you come out of the break that you play a team that's coming off the break as well. I suggested that 2 years ago because we had the storm and we lost two games were canceled because of the snowstorm. I wrote to the league and said, "Hey, I know next year we're doing a mandatory break. Probably not thinking about this, but." When you come out of the break, I suggested that half, for instance, each division, half our division, say us, Carolina, Philadelphia, and one of the New York teams, coming out of the break, you take the break at the same time, you'd come out of the break at the same time, and we'd probably play like Carolina, and Philly would play, say, the Islanders, and then you flip-flop. So the first two games coming back, you'd be playing teams that are basically having the same foothold in terms of where they are in their game after a 5-day break. You got certain teams. I think only maybe half the league has done that right now. And I think a team like Vegas, who had a swing, out east, they were in Nashville, Tampa, and one other place. But they caught all three teams coming off their break.
Coach.
And dominated them.
Mm-hmm. Coach, the other day you switched up the line again, right? You'd gone, I don't know, 25 or 26 games or whatever with Ovi and Backe on the same line. I know you explained it to kind of the local media and stuff, but explain to our audience what went into that. Who were you trying to get going?
Well, I was trying to get the both lines really going. I thought where we've dried up a little bit, if you look at our last five games, really the only lines that have been scoring are the Eller and Beagle line. The Kuzi and Backe line, the way they were really getting no production other than power play. And not even getting a lot of chances as we dissect the chances for and against all the time. They weren't even generating a lot. So to me, that was just a little bit of a sign of, A, they're in maybe a little bit of a funk or whatever, but just trying to change it up a little bit, give them a little bit of freshness to their line. They play heavy minutes. They get all the big matchups. So we change it up a little bit, see if we could spark something. We haven't scored a 5-on-5 goal in two games.
Right.
And that's uncommon for us. So we've had tremendous chances. You look at the Philly game. I was actually much happier with the Philly game than it was the Montreal game. We generated a lot of chances. The chances were 2-1. I thought Elliott made some fabulous saves, probably 3 or 4 $10. If we convert on those, we probably win the Philadelphia game 3-1 or 4-1, and we're not even having this discussion. But we didn't convert on those. Didn't finish. He made the save, and we've gone a little bit dry on the 5-on-5 lately. So that's the normal stuff that happens. Biorhythms of an NHL season where your power play is hot or it's cold, or your penalty kill can't stop anything, or they can stop everything. And sometimes 5-on-5, you're scoring almost at will, and other times you're dried up. So I think it's just a little bit of the biorhythms of a National Hockey League season. So we just tried to shake things up, and how long they'll stay together, that's all dependent on how we do, I guess.
Coach, I know you don't know the answer to this. I'm just a dumb fan. I might be one of the lowest IQ fans you have. And I was watching that Philly game, and it seemed to me that you guys came out in the first period and were playing great. Like, Ovi had a ton of chances. He was doing some remarkable stuff, just never was rewarded, at least in that first period, I felt like. But then the second period was totally different. And I know this happens in every sport all the time, but that's got to be maddening to you, right? Like, you go into the break, you guys are playing great, and then the second period just takes on a whole different character. Why does that happen?
Well, I think that's sports. You guys are the best at watching sports and just dissecting the games and all that. I think it's sports. And you know, I look at that second period. It started 8 seconds in. We jump off the draw, lose the draw. We jump. We put a little bit of pressure. They actually fumble the play, but retrieve the puck, and we take a penalty. I think it was Tom took a penalty about 5 seconds into that period. And then, so we're starting on the penalty kill, and then our defensemen, we had about 4 times we could have got the puck down the ice on the penalty kill. We don't, and now our defense are caught out there. They were caught out there for almost two minutes, and then all of a sudden, a guy like John Carlson, who's playing a lot of minutes, he just had a 2-minute shift, and we're throwing him out there, you know, 30 seconds later because the next group's coming on. And it just takes a lot of your execution out of your game because you start getting tired. The team has a little bit of momentum from a power play, and you fail some executions, and now you're playing in your end, and the other team has a little push. So I think in sport, you'll see no matter almost every sport, especially in our game, you're going to have to create some of those storms on the other team where you're pressing and you're getting chances, and other times you're going to have to weather the other team's storm coming at you. And that sort of, to me, it was a lack of execution in some of our clears and execution in some of our breakouts, and then it led into them getting some momentum. The back half of that second period, I thought we sort of got it back a little bit and we're a little bit better. And then the third period, I thought we dominated, so.
We're joined by Barry Trotz, head coach of the Washington Capitals, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. I have a hard time believing this stat, Coach. The Capitals take a league-low 28.7 shots per game. How is that possible with Alex Ovechkin on the team that you guys are league-low in shots per game?
Well, I think you look at our shooting percentage is almost one of the highest in the league. I think teams and just the average fan just looks at shots, and what the analytics community and also our goaltending community and also the hockey and coaching community is learning is that goaltending is so good now that just taking shots from the point are now always a little bit more low percentage. You look at the lowest scoring teams in the National Hockey League, teams like Montreal. I would say maybe Carolina, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'm just guessing. They probably have the highest shot totals, but they are one of the lowest scoring teams. And some of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League take the least shots because they're taking higher percentage shots. They're making lateral plays a little bit more, and those shots. We have a stat where we're scoring right now in a certain area of the ice. where we're scoring almost 30% every shot. So every three shots we take, we're scoring a goal in, when we can get to that area. So we're taking it to the next level. I think the average fan or even some of the analytics people are behind in some areas of how teams are scoring. As coaches and goaltending coaches have really looked at the trends in the National Hockey League, the teams that are scoring at a high rate, and maybe not taking as many shots. A good example is the Penguins. Score at a very high rate. They've done it the last couple of years, the Rangers, those type of things. And there's certain trends that we're seeing when you see them score 300 or 400 goals, you know, in 2 years, you're looking at a lot of data, and teams are now looking at that. So our shot attempt is actually up there with probably in the middle of the league, but our shots on goal are right at the bottom pretty well.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the schedule again. I know you just alluded to it when you talked about the bye week, but I didn't realize it was this spread out until I just looked at it. Okay, so you played on January 12th. You played at Carolina. You won that game 4-3. And then you had the bye week, okay?
Yeah.
And you had the bye week. You played the following Thursday. And then you play four games between January 18th and tomorrow, okay? So that's pretty standard, four times in a week. Then you have the All-Star break. So you're going to play four games in about a stretch of, because your next game isn't until the 31st on Wednesday. So that's four games in like 19 days.
We got one game in 9 days. Yeah.
That's got to be strange.
Well, if you look at it, when we came back from that break, our 5-day break, we weren't able to skate. We had a morning skate for 25, 30 minutes in New Jersey. We played New Jersey. We came home. And we played the Montreal Canadiens, who were sitting here waiting for us.
Right.
And then we had a short skate on Saturday, and we played a noon game. So we played three games in 2.5 days after a break.
Right.
And that's really...
And lost all three of them, by the way.
That's just what the schedule does to you sometimes. And now we've got another three-day break. We play Florida, and then we got a 5-day break. So... and then we play Philadelphia. So it is what it is, but at the same time, we got to find ways to get points.
And by the way, when you guys played that game on January 12th, you had won 6 of 7 coming into the bye week. So it obviously affected you guys because you guys were hot.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. I mean, in New Jersey, we lost in overtime. In Philly, we lost in overtime. So we're getting points, but we didn't get the extra points. So. That we just got to battle through that. We got to try to stay sharp. We got to get the Florida game and then come out of the All-Star break, and we'll be in a battle at the Metro Division. I think Philadelphia Flyers are going to be there. Pittsburgh Penguins are going to be there. You got Columbus coming up.
We're going to put Coach on hold. There you go, Coach.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you were breaking up.
Yeah, we lost you there.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I just said, when we come back, you just look at the Metro Division. You got teams like Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. I think they're going to be there, Columbus. It's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a battle till April 7th. Who's going to be in?
Yep.
No doubt.
All right, Coach. Well, have a good day. Get prepped for Florida tomorrow, and come away with those 2 points, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Was I supposed to ask him about a charity?
Every week he promotes a charity. That's how cool he is.
Yeah.
Usually it's the Big Brother or Step. What is it?
Best Buddies.
Forgot to give him time.
He's
Drabby.
Intimately involved with them.
Yeah.
He does a lot of great work for Best Buddies.
But isn't that weird? I mean, they played January 12th. Then they get the bye week.
Right.
They play on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lose.
Yep.
Play tomorrow, and then they got the All-Star break. Another 5 days off. And then they play on the 31st when they come back from the All-Star break. So within 12th to the 31st, they play four games.
I saw the video of Tom Wilson's girlfriend that she posted for their Dominican Republic vacation. Looks silly.
Oh, I'm sure it's nice.
The vacation or the girl?
I didn't see a picture of her. I mean, she was interspersed within
the hockey
video.
Player's girlfriend. I'm guessing she's attractive.
There were people doing cannonballs into infinity pools, big beach drinks, volleyball.
Is there a professional hockey player that's currently dating, not married, dating
below a 6,
an 8,
no,
or worse?
No, it's physically impossible.
Oh, I would say yes.
Not many
dating.
Yeah,
it's the minority.
dating
no,
an eight or less.
Maybe there's a few.
But there's 100% chance that at least one of them is a
bear. Yeah, all right, one.
Because they're tired of tens.
They're tired of tens. They wore out all the tens.
The tens are just a pain in the ass.
They wore out all the nines. They're down to the eights. Right. That's hilarious.
They're slumming. All right, remember,
but
we've got a bunch
not
of guests,
probably not with the caps.
On the show today. Lindsay Zarniak's going to join us.
Lindsay's back.
She hooked up with Joe Gibbs recently.
Yeah.
And she's doing some stuff for Channel 4 here locally
Way, Valdez.
Yeah, she linked,
she did an interview.
Just say she linked up with Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
Hooked up with Joe Gibbs sounds a little bit dicey.
Right.
Whatever. You know what
like
I mean.
Like A1's dream.
Lindsay Zarniak's going to join us at 9 o'clock. And Tony Massenburg on the Wizards at 9:20 on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. So many great things about this job. We're living out a dream. One of the best things is the connections we make, the relationships we have. And we have a great relationship with Bethesda Bagels.
We do. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
They are great, man.
Bethesda Bagels swung by. Some of us are having omelets, others having bagels.
A little tuna cheddar on a bagel, so good.
He actually Delish. Hooked me because I don't like good size for bagels and all the carbs, cakes.
Yep.
Although I had a ton of carbs yesterday when I had an extra large popcorn.
You get a large, is it enough? You go XL?
I get the biggest. He hooked me with the, like, I made like a lettuce wrap with the salmon and the cream cheese.
Very good.
So good. By the way,
don't your teeth feel hurting after eating all that popcorn? Like, so much gets stuck, right? So many kernels, so many steves.
True, but I am, in the last year, I've become maybe the best flosser in the world. My flossing game is tight. I'm constantly flossing. And I think it's because as I've gotten older, my teeth have just disintegrated, and there's just more gaps, and there's just more
crevices. So it's easier for the floss to find?
No, the food gets stuck everywhere.
Right.
I'll never forget. We have one listener, and I'm not going to say his name. He used to come out to appearances. He used to call in the show all the time. And I saw him at an appearance at a bar, and he just crushed some chicken wings.
Okay.
And we were talking, and he had chicken in every crevice of every tooth.
I think I know this. I think I know the listener I'm pretty sure I know the listener you're talking about.
I remember looking at him 10 years ago, Joan, and going, oh, that's so hurting. He's got chicken in all his
chicken
teeth.
Was just camped out?
It camped out in all the crevices. And he was talking to me, and we were having a great conversation. And by the way, he's a great guy.
Was he spitting at you, like
no,
chicken
but
flying
there was just
out of his
food.
Mouth?
That happened to me. If it's the same person we're talking about, it might not be. But I had an interaction with, and there
can
was
you
a
please
lot,
write down the name?
There's a lot of chicken spittle flying in my
no,
face.
No, I don't want to say because I don't want to whore the guy. Because I really like the guy.
So I know, but all right,
if it was
had
Rom, I would say
he
it was
just
Rom.
Had chicken in his teeth. That happens.
He's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this,
that's
but
embarrassing. I don't want to embarrass him because he might not take it the right
I agree
way.
If it's
there.
A P1, he might be sized.
No, he doesn't want to be.
Attention dollars. I think Cakes is thinking of somebody else. I have a feeling. Different person.
Let me see.
Totally different person. Okay, now I'm going to predict who you're thinking of.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know.
I haven't seen that dude in 10 years, probably.
I don't
probably.
Know if I know this person
Maybe
by
five.
Name.
Jason, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you were thinking of this guy.
He had chicken sticking out of every tooth. Here you go.
No, it wasn't that person either.
Who?
I haven't seen that person
you know
in a long
now
time.
You just say the name.
That guy just said bad gums.
Honestly, I'm not trying to protect this person. I don't know his name.
Oh, okay.
But I just know him by sight. Yeah. And if I see him again, I'm going to do whatever I can to avoid a face-to-face conversation. Because I would believe the result would be the same. There would be food particles flying out of his mouth and landing on Flakes' face.
Okay, let's
and I don't get sized.
Let's not confuse two things. Thank you to Bethesda Bagels.
Thank you so much.
Regardless of our teeth, your food is amazing.
Thank you.
But the point is,
so good.
I remember goofing on that guy 10 years ago behind his back. Of course, most of my goofing and joning is behind your back. Wow, that's so hurting. He's got chicken in all his teeth.
Right.
Now, at almost 48, I get food stuck in hurting crevices. Now, you may not see it.
Chicken.
But
you feel it.
Oh, I feel it.
Yeah.
After every time I eat. So I got dental floss in the car.
So
I got
you have
it downstairs.
Those little individual ones, not the old school.
I don't like the picks. No, I don't have. I used to have a pack
of
picks.
School.
I use the old school, and I just flick, and it's right. flying everywhere.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, because I can't stand having that food stuck in there. But anyway, so I want to give you my quick review. So I went to the movies yesterday. I literally had, sometimes people ask me, what are you doing today? And often I say,
nothing.
Nothing. I'm done at 10.
Nothing right. on the docket.
I mean, I'm going to go home and nap. I'm going to work out.
We're fortunate.
It's not even fortunate. It's actually.
No, we're fortunate. We don't have a job that, like, my brother starts at the same time as us.
I get home at 7:30. We got dream jobs. That's a given.
It's, yeah, it's definitely
it's a great.
Well, don't
it's
say
a
we're not fortunate. We're fortunate.
No, you're misinterpreting, though. It's not that. It's not that. It's because there's a downside to it. The downside is, I think there's a downside to doing nothing. I know a lot of times I feel like I have a hollow life because I've wasted from 10 o'clock. I'm doing nothing. I should be accomplishing more with my life with the free time. So I think that's fortunate, but there's a downside to it. Just talking on the radio for 4 hours.
You won't get another job.
No, but sometimes I like to have other projects or other things I'm working on. Do you know what I mean? That may not mean anything to you. To me,
it really doesn't.
To me, it does. To me, it does.
I like having the whole day.
Hey, I told you yesterday.
I want to ask myself, what am I going to do today?
You need to start seeing more flops. I don't know what you're doing.
I have found that at this part to be a fairly hollow existence. I didn't say it for a long time.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I know it's hollow, but
I'm going to MGM National Harbor today as soon as the show is over.
I'm not doing anything better, but I know that is definitely not going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon.
It did once in a
blue
moon.
It used to. Yeah. Which, by the way, out of nowhere, I got two checks from Absolute
Poker. Once in a blue moon.
Last week.
Big ones? Big ones?
Not big at all, but in the hundreds.
That's solid. You'll definitely take them to the bank.
That's pennies from
Absolute
heaven, buddy.
Absolute Poker sent me two checks.
I didn't even know they still existed.
Neither did I. They were shut down. When was Black Friday online
like 2009, poker? 2009, wasn't it?
Was it that long ago? Has it been like 9 years?
2009.
Has it been not? No.
I'm pretty sure.
Can you Google it, Cakes?
Black Friday.
Are they
in poker?
Just
Alexa,
now getting
when was Black Friday?
Are
for
they just now
poker?
Getting around to paying people off?
No, I got paid off with Full Tilt, like whatever it was, 2 years after. Took 2 years, but I eventually got. Remember, I got a big. I got like 20K.
That was a different site.
And right. They wanted to pay you in Bitcoin.
Did they offer that?
Yeah, and you shut it down.
No. You're conflating stories. I.
2011.
So it's been,
still, it's been basically 7 years.
Been 7 years. 7 years later, I got money from Absolute Poker last week.
That's no, just pennies from heaven.
What you're misunderstanding is that there was an opportunity to play other sites at that time and use Bitcoin instead of American money to get in. No, you know, does that make any sense? They accepted Bitcoin. They wouldn't accept U.S. dollars. And I didn't want to do that because I'm dumb. And I didn't understand it and whatever.
If you can only predict the future.
Yep. Right. So anyway, I go decide to see The Post yesterday because, you know, the Oscar nominations came out. It was one of the 10 best. And Cakes, we were talking about it before we got on this segment here. He's flabbergasted that I would be interested in the Pentagon Papers, essentially. Here's a nugget about me that you don't know. I read the book, The Pentagon Papers, when I was like in college.
Okay.
I'm not a history buff by any stretch, but like Watergate is fascinating to me. We worked with G. Gordon
Love
Liddy.
G. Gordon.
We worked with G. Gordon Liddy.
I love Diana.
Do you know that entire tenure that we were associated with him? Yep. I was fascinated with Watergate. He was the man, central figure in the heart of Watergate.
Right.
Radio insider.
So I did a lot of reading about Watergate, et cetera, in college, and the Pentagon Papers were kind of the precursor to all that. This movie is about.
I'll be honest. I knew not, I when I heard the movie was about the Pentagon Papers, my first question was,
"What are the Pentagon Papers?"
The Pentagon
of course,
papers.
Right. And that makes sense. Even
I didn't know anything about them.
I think most people will probably need a little reminder. Yeah. You go to. I mean, my daughter was asking me the other day about the. This is embarrassing. The proclamation or whatever.
Emancipation.
The four score 7 years ago. Speech.
Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, the Gettysburg Address. Yeah. And my wife said, go ahead, tell her about the Gettysburg Address. And I was like, I had to Google it.
Where did you start?
Yeah, I said, is that the four score one?
Right.
And that's all I knew.
Is that where Abe Lincoln lived? Yeah, Gettysburg Address?
So I get it. You don't know Pentagon Papers. But right. if you Googled it, you might have a. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by journalism, sort of, like paper. You know me, I love a paper.
Right, before you talk about the movie, any silly previews? I need to hear about previews.
All right, you want to know how dumb I am? This is. I told Barry Trotz I might be the lowest IQ.
Right.
I thought the movie, when I read it, started at 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I went to the mall, got there at 11 because I left here at 10:30.
Yes, you cashed in another Cobb gift card.
No, because I wanted to get the popcorn. I didn't want it to ruin the popcorn. So I walked around, literally wasted time so I could be there right at 11:30.
Okay.
And minimize the previews. I don't need to be there, certainly with like the movie trivia and all that.
You don't
That's the worst.
You don't need to see Maria Menounos hyping up everything.
And I don't
the
even really like Ooh. The previews.
I like to see her, though.
But I don't mind a couple. The movie started at 11:20, so I actually missed all the previews. I actually
That's
got in there the first. The movie had already started a minute or two in. But anyway, it stars Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep. It's about Ben Bradley and Katharine Graham. And we had John on, right? John said he loved the movie, right? Maybe people that have seen the movie or that had interactions with Katharine, they kind of portrayed her. You know, she was the publisher, the owner of the paper after her husband died.
Right.
Right? Forget what his name was. Something Graham.
Okay.
Right? They kind of portrayed her as kind of like a donk wife. It was kind of like in over her head.
Right.
And she had that. Here's the crux of the movie. They had to make a call. They were getting leaked information. Philip Graham.
Yep.
They were getting leaked information. New York Times was publishing it. They were bitter that the Times was crushing them on the story every day. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post was considered this little newspaper. New York Times is killing them on this massive story every day. And I don't know if any of us realize this. This is why you have to be skeptical of all politicians. That years and years of administrations like Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, all the presidents, like I don't even know how many, four or five of them. There was like a 20-year Vietnam War thing going on where they knew, all of them knew we were losing the war. It was unwinnable. And they were lying to the American public
right
for 20 some odd years. Like this stuff had been going on for a long, long. I'm not a history buff. I was born in 1970. I didn't live this. But the crude summary is our government was lying to us for like decades about the Vietnam War and that we were in this, and it was great. They were painting this rosy picture. Meanwhile, there was CIA evidence, and they're like our Secretary of Defense, Robert Mack, all these people knew it was an unwinnable war. We were losing American lives. We were never going to win it. It was a big, giant cluster F, and they were lying to the American people. Well, the New York Times got their hands on some of this testimony or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were publishing it, and then the Nixon administration threat told them they had to shut it down or they were going to be like arrested or whatever. It had to all go to the Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. The Washington Post got access to that same information, and Katharine Graham and Ben Bradley had to make a call. There's been an injunction that says we can't publish this or we risk going to jail.
Mm-hmm. But
They said, F it. Yeah. We're going to publish this because of freedom of the press. The people deserve to know, and we're going to appeal to the Supreme Court. It took massive, the way they portrayed it in the movie, I didn't live it. Again, we were all born in 1970. It took massive balls from Katharine Graham and Ben Bradley to publish that information, knowing that the White House and what is it? What is the lead district attorney in the country? What are they called?
What's the Attorney General?
The Attorney General warned them, if you publish this, you're exposing yourself potentially to prison.
Right.
Right. Nixon was calling it treason. That if you publish these leaked documents, that's equivalent to treason.
So did you love the movie?
Loved
so they went
the movie.
So they went to court, right?
They published it and then later won after they published. Like she had balls on the line. Like, are we going to publish this or not? The New York Times didn't. They stopped. They went ahead and did it, and the Supreme Court backed them, like, immediately, like, within a couple days.
Mm. How many red nickels do you give it?
I give it 4.5, but it's not going to be
solid
for everybody. It's not going to be for cakes, probably. You have to be intrigued by that kind of stuff. I like journalism. I like that. What was the movie that was about Watergate? All the President's Men? I love that movie. So if you like that kind of stuff,
let me ask
you
JFK,
this is an important question.
I bought 10 JFK books.
And here's what I need to know.
I love that stuff.
Are there any CGI monsters or explosions?
No,
Cakes. Cakes, it's not your thing.
It's not up your alley.
It's not your thing.
I might enjoy
Jason,
it, but
is that
who did you like better, Hanks or Streep in that in those roles?
Streep nominated Hank's not.
They're both. They really are both spectacular, right? We all know this as actors. I was really watching them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after seeing some bad acting in some other previous films, like that one guy in Molly's Game that just tilts me to no end, who's such a bad, he was like Valdez acting. Or me in a Crop Metcalf spot.
Yeah.
They're so good. I can't get past every time I see Tom Hanks that's Tom Hanks.
Right.
But man, we all, you know, we live in D.C., so we saw Ben Bradley, you know, on the news and stuff. He did kind of make you feel like he was Ben Bradley.
Yeah.
He's pretty effing good.
Now, Graham passed away a while ago. Bradley's gone,
too. No, I think he passed away within the last 5 or 10 years, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved it. It's right up my alley. Does it sound intriguing to you or no?
Yeah, kind of. The whole controversy does. I'm not – I know nothing about that time either.
Yeah.
But that particular story sounds intriguing.
Why did they portray Catherine Graham? That was my – they kind of portrayed her like she was a donk. And I always thought that she was like this legendary figure. Maybe she was.
Was it better than Spotlight?
I don't know what that is.
The Academy Award movie
he didn't see that.
About the church, the Catholic church.
Covering up sex abuse scandals.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that. The newspaper story.
That's the one everyone's talking about. That's like on Netflix or something, right?
It's on Netflix.
It's a few years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Everyone keeps telling me I got to see that. There's some sports documentary that somebody's saying I got something five about some high school hoops team or something. Do you guys know what that is? Somebody's telling me I got to see it. I think ESPN might have produced it.
The Five?
It. Something, not The Five, like Masquerade Five or something.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Have you guys heard about it?
Mm.
All right, let's go real quick.
I know there's a 30 for 30 out on Calipari that's supposed to be great. I don't know if it's new or not.
John Mechanicsville, quickly. John.
Quickly? All right, I'll erase all the zings then. Hey, but EB, you like Watergate? Very topical. The slow burn.
It
podcast.
Is topical because it's about a movie that's current. Yes,
that wasn't a joke. I was kind of transitioning. I wanted to tell you about the Slow Burn podcast. You would love it. It's right up your alley. It's really in depth. Look into Watergate. Really well done. It's my favorite. One of my favorite podcasts right now. It's almost over. It's 10 episodes. Easy listen. You'll love it. Up your alley.
All right.
It'll kill time before you die, which is perfect.
Did you see the post?
No, I want to, though. And actually, I do a little bit. I've done antique restoration work for the Graham family, the kids, and they're the nicest people in the world, down to earth, very right. cool, but rich, but very cool.
They are but rich. That's one thing that came out of this thing, all the dinner parties and everything,
right.
And like...
socialites.
Yeah, like the Grahams and Ben Bradley having president, you know, like hanging out with the Kennedys. Right.
John, I do want to hear your zings and Jones. You don't need to
show. I was going to ask, who's a better actor, the guy from Molly's Game or AWOD in the It's Just Lunch commercials?
Guy from Molly's
the
Game.
The guy from Molly's Game.
And I haven't even seen Molly's Game.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, remember, Lindsay Zarniak joins us at 9 o'clock. Tony Massenberg on the Wizards Woes at 9:20.
That's right, EB. The process is so easy.
Fellas, can I mention real quick that I will be out and about on Saturday?
Personal appearance?
Well, no, it's a work appearance.
It is?
Where
are you going to be?
Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay.
I'm going to be at the Sleep Number Store, Dulles Town Center.
Oh, really?
Very good.
So come on out. Bring a Bethesda bagel for me if you want.
That's silly.
Bring gifts.
Yep.
But I'll be there from 11 to 1. Usually it's a couple of us. But mm-hmm. This one's just me solo. I'm K
which,
solo.
Which
on
one?
This.
Which Sleep Number?
This is the Sleep Number Store, Dulles Town Center, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday.
I think we've done a gig there before.
We have, many times.
Yeah.
So come on out and say hi. And then when you're there, buy a bed and buy pillows.
Buy many pillows.
Just buy.
Yes. People are so nice.
Buy.
When you say that, people are going to bring like beer. Like people do.
Yeah,
they bring
they have
stuff.
Brought wow. beer before.
Yeah, I love
they,
it.
They do.
Bring gifts for me. That's fine.
Our friend Al Rashid may swing by. He'll probably bring you some organic honey to help you with your allergies.
Maybe more Sunbeam batteries.
He's done that for me before.
I know that we're at a different stage in our lives and we're not quite as desperate, although we love those Kava gift cards. But, man, I would love to do another segment of What Would You Do for the Junks? We haven't done that in a decade.
I think that's your favorite segment.
That's my favorite because people would just give you, like, tickets.
You bring it up all the time.
Right. It's such a fun segment. And the thing
we did
is
that when we were a nighttime show.
The producers hate it. They hate it because they're just so jealous they don't get to be a part of it.
Uh-huh.
I hate it.
But I love it.
I get things because of you guys. I don't hate it.
You get some scraps.
Right, but we get so much, like, we do so many dumb segments on this show. None of them get the resentment that What Would You Do for the Junks
right. gets. Because we already get so much. By the way,
so?
I know,
maybe the funniest thing.
I kind of forget what it was like to do that segment.
I don't know if we highlighted this.
I knew you'd be with me.
But we do need to thank the Palm. Once again, the Palm gave us, each of the junkies, eight fillets.
Big fat ones.
Which are fantastic.
I already ate all of mine are in my poop.
What we didn't necessarily highlight was they also hooked up Valdez and Drab. And Valdez and Drab each got four.
I know, it's so great.
But four,
well,
is,
they gotta keep
four, four,
it
is great.
There
four
is a higher
four, four than zero.
Four is better than none.
Right. How many did AWOD get?
Zero.
Exactly.
We're the ones that talk about them all the time.
I understand.
I haven't been to see Timmy.
By the way, those fillets were about as thick as a John Deere tractor tire.
they were big.
Well, it's funny because I'm sitting there setting it up and getting your address and phone numbers and everything so they can send it to you guys. And then you all get hooked with the eight, and then we get nubbed with the four.
Yeah, but you know what? You love those four. Did you already crush those
four?
That's
why we give you a little handshake at the end of the year. You know, it's not a lot, but it's a little something.
But thank you guys. If you want to be fair, we have families of 5, 5, 5, and 4. So
true.
The steak's got to be spread around.
Yep.
Although my wife doesn't eat red meat.
So are you going to eat all?
I'm guessing Isabella doesn't eat red meat yet either. She barely. No. She probably doesn't even have teeth.
She has two teeth. Will Kelsey eat it?
She's not. Actually, none of my kids are big steak eaters.
So it's all for you?
Yeah.
How about you want to sell me some?
Sure.
A dollar of steak.
Oh, we're already negotiating for Drabs back here.
Oh, really? Why, yeah. Drabby doesn't eat red meat?
I do, but I've been saving mine.
Now, listen, I'm not going to pay a lot. Just like I want a deep discount because, A, I know it's free. B, I'm not desperate for it.
I have six left.
You have six left?
Mm. Oh.
$2 a steak.
That's weak.
Well, it's. I know you love money.
I'll give you $5 a steak.
$5 a steak?
That's sold.
Tantalizing.
Sold. I definitely
He's considering it.
$4.
You guys are bidding on fillets.
I'm not going to sell those fillets. I'm not going to go 5.
They're worth like $45.
They are, but when I buy the max, I max out at flank steak. That's
nubs.
That's as rich as we'll go.
Yeah, but if you cook it right, it's delicious.
No, it's delicious.
Well, compared to the fillet,
a flank steak, I think is $9.99 a pound. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's kind of pricey for me. I'm white trash. I grew up in Prince George's County.
And I'm sure they're like USDA Prime, whatever the highest
classification is. That's the most expensive steak we buy. We don't buy fillets. I'm going to guess fillets are like $19.99 a pound. I don't know that. I'm guessing.
Here, JP, bring in your cooler, and I'll pay you right now, tomorrow for them.
How much?
$5 a steak.
I'll bring two.
You're going to sell two for $10?
That's one dinner for you.
That's a dinner for my family,
too. That's the best deal you've ever made.
How about, Manny.
You know what? Can I buy the other two for 10?
Sure.
Really?
Drabby?
Done.
You're not going to save them for yourself?
$5 a steak.
Bring in the 20 tomorrow. I'll give you 4 steaks.
Yep. Deal. Done. Done. I got you.
Look,
there's a hierarchy. Okay. Done.
I'd love to overbid.
That'll feed my family for, that's 2 meals. The steaks are so big. We cut them in half.
And you're working hard to put food on your family.
And then my youngest is like been raised by wolves. She only will eat chicken fingers. Like, you know, like I don't know what her problem is.
Yeah, that's
the same steaks we got, right? The big fat thick fillets.
Yeah, yeah.
Big fatties.
I'll give you 25 for you.
My son eats chicken fingers, pizza, what? Pancakes.
For what? Four steaks?
I'm outbidding you.
What are you talking about? Deal's already consumated.
I didn't see any paperwork.
25 is the offer. I don't know.
You son of a bitch. All right.
Come on.
Mine's still for 2 for $10.
Hey, what's the guy? What was poker guy's name?
Umberto Brenes.
Yeah, come on. Umberto it.
Yeah.
Was he from Costa Rica? He was selling.
Oh, you're not going to go to 30?
I'll just get. They'll use some Kava gift cards one night.
All right. 25 for. You don't want your steaks?
No, of course I want them.
You just want $25 more?
Yes.
He's about to move into a fancy new house. He needs every last penny.
Yeah, he's busto.
All right, I'll give
you. Of course, he's selling everything.
All right,
I'll grill those bitches up.
He's in sell mode.
This weekend, it'll be like 65.
Let's go to Scott. real quick. Mount Airy. Scott, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Bickle, you know you got paid on Absolute because the government finally got their money from Absolute for selling everything. But look, I want to thank you guys.
Oh, really?
Do you think I actually really didn't know? Of course I know.
I mean, you're a smart guy. I just...
Okay.
I had to see if you knew.
Yeah.
Hey, I really want to thank you guys. I think I told you like 2 years ago I got married. Baby's due in 12 weeks.
You're kidding.
Wow.
You're having a baby?
And it's all because of you, Bickle.
Why?
Well, you told me to give up the lifestyle, so gave up the poker playing lifestyle, got a real job.
You know how many people I counsel?
I'm a woman.
You know how many donks I counsel? I counsel so many
donks.
Scott's
donks. I mean,
why are you breathing just, heavy, Scott?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you gave up something.
Because I'm having a rom, because I'm cleaning out the room to have the baby's room painted.
Wow.
And I'm just like totally
honestly,
stoked.
Tell the guys, I don't think people understand what a good person I am. What? Because I don't remember either. What did I counsel you?
Do you remember, Scott?
I know exactly who he is. What did I say to you?
You said, look, man, you're a total donk. You keep playing online poker. Now it's gone. You got to stop going to Borgata. You got to find a real job. I listened to you. You told me what to do, and it worked out for me.
What is your real
Happily
job?
But you don't have to be specific.
Omo Company. Actually, Omo Cakes, you know. Omo Company right now. So
I know who this is. I don't know the company that you own.
All right, so you're doing well.
I'm doing very well.
And you're giving
and you know
a,
what,
hold on,
Bickle,
let's
it's
just be clear.
Of,
let's focus on the important part. You're giving the credit to your turnaround in life to EB.
EB Life Coach.
I mean, I'm thanking you. I'm not giving you full 100% credit.
I understand, but the primary guy outside of you.
Well, by the way, you should have known that when you woke up every single morning anyway. You shouldn't have needed the advice
from Bickle.
Yeah,
but people need, sometimes right, people
needed,
they look up to tell them things.
You need Bizzle to give you life advice?
They need people.
Next thing you know, he's wearing the hurting glasses.
They need
that. Yeah, you're not.
But
you're,
here's where I'm getting at.
Buying glasses
but,
today?
But
ahead.
Here's what I'm getting at. EB, you did wear those glasses better than Elton John. Maybe that.
Thank
but look, here's what I'm getting at. AY needs to listen to you. Because otherwise, he's going to be 40 years old, single, $100 in his checking account, and he's going to look back at his life and go, oh, man, I didn't listen to EB.
You're right. 100% right. So
and,
many
and
people
Jason,
didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Jason, two things.
Yeah.
Coming out to the appearance.
Okay.
You want a bottle of vodka again?
You coming to the Sleep Number appearance?
Yeah, I'm going to bring
you
a bottle of vodka again.
I've never turned down a bottle of vodka.
What about really cheap vodka?
Do you want Tito's?
Well, you never text me back to tell me how the other one was that I gave you. That and a Happy New Year.
Which one was it? I can't remember. I'm sure it was good.
the company that I own, buddy.
Oh.
Come on. Cakes knows about this.
Okay, what's the company
he
called?
He keeps claiming I know about his company. I really...
I'm not giving a plug right now.
Well, why wouldn't you give a plug to your
own
company?
See the guy
company?
That gave you all the minis?
We're giving you a platform.
No, different guy.
Why wouldn't you plug your own company, Scott? Doesn't seem like you're thinking straight.
Because I own such a minority share that it's just pointless.
All right, well, thank
he
you for
really
it.
Own it.
Right. Okay, listen.
Got to stop.
Listen, the bottom line is... He's trying to big time a little bit. But the bottom line is
got
I changed
to sleep, remember JP?
Yeah. I changed his life.
Yes.
And that's what we should all take from this phone
right.
call.
And AWOD, make sure you listen to EB.
Thank you. Man, what a great
listen
call.
To
Jason.
That sage advice.
What a great call.
All right, coming
Jason.
Up next.
Yes, sir.
Happy
yes,
New
sir.
Year.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it.
Lindsay Zarniak joins us. We'll talk to her about her interview with Joe Gibbs
yes.
and more right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.